keeping you connected to wine country here at the Crush 92.5. It's the Cork Dorks, a weekly update with Suzanne.
It's the Crush 92.5 and the Cork Dorks, a weekly update presented by our friends at United Staffing Associates. And they provide staffing and career resources and offer clients expert help and services in human resources, consulting, safety training, recruiting, payroll, and more. Log on at UnitedWeStaff.com for more info. I am Suzanne, and this week it's all about Firestone Walker Brewing Company. There are big things, as always, going on with this crew. This year, Firestone Walker celebrating 30 years of kicking out the jams, and by that I mean beers. From the OG DBA to 805 beer taking over the world, everything in between and beyond. 2026 really is full of celebration. Today, we're digging into it with co-founder David Walker. Welcome.
Great.
How's it going?
Good to be an OG.
Yeah.
the other guy.
Yeah. you're technically the lion if we're looking at like the Firestone Walker Brewing logo, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Can't you tell?
Yeah. I mean, you do have like a good quaff. So.
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah. and then the other half of that logo is the bear that is Adam Firestone.
Yes.
And
California bear.
Yeah. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And lion because Brits.
Bingo.
So this goes back to 1996.
It does. I know. Two guys in a truck. I mean, it sounds corny, but literally we were in a truck driving to the dump one day and we dreamed up Firestone Walker Brewing Company. And
what was the conversation in that truck to the dump that day?
We've been talking about beer and for a while, actually. Adam was deeply involved. He was in a third generation family winery. So he was obviously sort of deeply connected to sort of the modern American wine movement.
Yeah.
And sort of the whole artisanal zeitgeist and all of that sort of stuff. And I was actually in the tech business, but I was also growing grapes. I had a vineyard and I was selling grapes. And so I was rubbing shoulders with a lot of these guys. And,
yeah.
We always thought that beer that was going to go through the same arc. And we both, part of the issue is we both loved beer. Technically,
yeah.
Both preferred it to wine, which was sort of counterproductive. But
so funny.
So it was a natural. It was sort of inevitable. We're going to say, hey, let's start a little brewery. But we never really had expectations that we would get to where we are today. We thought, we were literally thinking of like a small family winery.
Yeah, it's almost like you just wanted to make beer that you wanted to drink.
Well, that was part of it. I mean, we thought if we could get a nice pub out of it where we could take our friends,
yeah.
It was local and it would be great. Because we knew building a brewery was going to be an extraordinary undertaking. And we both sort of, a little bit like the dog catching the bus. We really sort of didn't want to catch the bus.
Well, you definitely did.
We did. Yeah.
Intended or not. And so, getting into the last 30 years, if you had to describe it in one word, I know that's tough, but what's like the word that pops to mind first? Firestone Walker Brewing, the last 30 years.
A life's work.
There we go.
I mean,
it's a phrase. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say relentless, challenges.
Yeah, totally.
Endless satisfaction. Remarkable people. The people that we've rubbed shoulders with and connected with over the years, who we've worked for, they've worked for us and so forth. So, I highly recommend it as a life's journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone just go start a brewery and be Firestone Walker. No big deal. It's totally fine. It's not challenging.
No,
it's not
exactly.
Yeah. Relentless.
Yeah.
Super cool to talk to you though and just kind of get into the history of this. And then as you're moving through this 30th year, obviously you guys are great at celebrating. This is,
right.
You know, what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, there's, you know, kind of things along the way planned. I saw sort of a relaunch of some like new packaging and stuff like that to celebrate 30 years with like the DBA and some of those standards, I guess, if you will,
yeah.
From Firestone and, the return of Easy Jack.
Yes.
So talk about that. You just had like a good, like nostalgic look on your face when I said that. What is,
well, you know, it's sort of interesting. You know, beer endures, but brands and styles come and go.
Right.
And, Easy Jack was one of those, one of those little styles that we made, I don't know, it seems like 10, 15 years ago now that got really hot, and then it just sort of disappeared. I mean, the consumer, that so mercurial, super promiscuous, you know, one minute they're into something, the next minute they're not. And, you know, we were sort of the pinup for that environment, American craft brewers.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, this is a getting me in my soapbox. I mean, beer is foundational to human civilization. I mean, in the beginning it was beer and bread. So beer endures.
Yeah.
We just go in and out of these styles,
right,
and brands. And, you know, there's a lot of P.T. Barnum in running a brewery. I mean, which is why you
guys... That's the word. Circus.
Yeah, exactly. Total circus. Actually... Usually when I bump into new employees, that's the first thing out of my mouth to them is to say, hey, welcome to the circus. running away and joining the circus. There's something romantic about that.
Is that like that could be a total campaign. That could be a logo. That could be.
It could. But yeah, no, I mean that you sign up for that with beer. I mean, especially American beer is a fast moving, somewhat fashionable, world. And you sort of have to be part of it. You can't sort of fold your arms and sit on the sidelines and say, I'm not going to play, because you'll just end up, everybody sort of leaves you behind.
Right. It's like the trend you're not following, you know, then exactly. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What though about, I guess if we're thinking about the longevity of beer, it's always going to be there, right? But then that these different styles come and go. What is it about DBA that has sustained? Because you guys have been brewing that continuously since the beginning.
We have. What I would say is we sustain it because we love it. It's gone from being our number one beer to probably a beer that barely makes the hurdle rate of brewery.
So that's a labor of love.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, that beer... it's sublimely beautiful. It sort of encompasses all the hopes and dreams that I had when we started the brewery. It's an English pale ale. I mean, it just has all of the things that speak to me. But you know, the consumer's moved on. And you know, the great thing is actually locally in the Central Coast, it still thrives. But you know, in markets where we do really well with other beers, it's sort of a footnote.
I think it's because, like, you know, for us here on the Central Coast, it's our local beer, and it's been here for that long, and it's nostalgic for us when we pop that DBA, you know?
Thank you for saying that.
But that you guys have so many other cool styles and fun things that we can enjoy along the way. And I know 805 Beer has been huge for you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
That has taken you into maybe markets that you weren't in before.
Right.
Talk about 805 as a brand and, you know, kind of how that's...
Well, it's sort of, you know, it was an accident, like all great things. I'd like to think we it was sort of genius on our side. I mean, it's a really interesting, fascinating little tale of sort of brand serendipity. I mean, we, you know, Anheuser-Busch in the early 2000s sort of went down the West Coast and trademarked all the area codes. And some of them... The area codes that they didn't think were worth anything, they didn't trademark. So,
suckers.
Yeah. So we snagged it. And then at the same time, there was a lot of, quite rightly, great little local breweries coming on tap. And, you know, there's a lot of, good humored competition on the streets. And they were saying, oh, yeah, you know, those guys are no longer local anymore. You can find their beer in Arizona. Mm. And so, we decided to double down. So we made this great blonde ale. It was actually a session beer for the brewers. It was the beer that they would drink after a session.
Nice.
We dropped it under the brand 805, and we just sort of stepped into a cultural force that we sort of always knew was there, but we had no idea how important it was. And all of a sudden, everybody who had a little bit of sort of 805 pride stepped up, and the beer drank well. It was basically molten water 25 days prior to most people were drinking it, so it was super fresh.
Yeah,
and it took off. Yeah. So you know, and people like to drink beer. So you know, if you have a beer that connects with a large population, you better look out.
Yeah, keep running with it, because then you've like branched out into like the 805 Cerveza, and there's the 805 Zero now. So that brand has carried through into some different ideas on the palate and what it can be. Yeah. And smart to get into that like NA world. You know, people are kind of maybe not drinking as much here and there. So you're serving that community as well. But then you still have all these awesome offerings for us who do like that alcohol percentage in our beer as well. So you guys also have then, as part of the 30th and the Firestone Walker Invitational,
right?
There is a 30th anniversary block party happening. And the Invitational obviously is special because it is a 30th celebration for you guys.
It is.
What do we look for in May? I mean, can you tell us any secrets? So
the Invitational is an extension of Merlin, Matt Brynjolfsson, who's our master brewer.
Wizard.
It's his little black book. It's his diary, his Rolodex. And so he's a voracious traveler. And if he's going, I feel sorry for his family because when he goes anywhere, they just go to breweries. He has got friends all over the world. And so, this is the concept of the Invitational. Is inviting his friends from over the world. And there's a lot of them are really pushing out the boat for the 30th. And, a lot of them folks won't have actually encountered. So to have them come here is really a great honor.
Yeah. And so he brings in 65 different world-class breweries.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Anything from super local right here all the way out to, I was reading like some Argentinian wines. some Argentinian beers, Belgium, UK, even across to New York, Vermont. There's Japanese beer coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's really a unique, and I know that this thing sells out in like seconds or minutes.
It's nuts. It surprises. I mean, the really frustrating thing is we probably could fill 65 slots with great California breweries, and a chunk of them coming from the Central Coast. But the purpose of the festival is to reach out to places where the people who come, and most of the people who come to it are from Central California, from California, is to provide an insight into that world outside that, you can encounter with a 2-hour drive from your house here.
Yeah. Take us on a world trip right there at the Paso Robles Event Center, you know? And then, if you don't get the tickets to the actual beer festival that day, there's so much cool stuff going on around it. So that 30th anniversary block party, that'll be on Friday, May 29th.
At the brewery.
I love the brews and brekkie brunch too at the tap room in Paso. That looks like a fun thing.
Yeah.
Do you know, Matt's working on a collaboration beer. He does this every year with one of like the guest breweries. Do you know much about that, or is he keeping it?
He always keeps it tied to his chest. Yeah.
Freem.
Yeah, no, it is Freem. Yeah, Matt's been in love with Freem. They make these beautiful pilsners up in the Pacific Northwest. He's been a fanboy of theirs for quite a while, and we have collaborated with them before. But I think this is the first time we've obviously done it at the festival, these will be delightful beers.
I bet. No idea on the style or anything like that.
It'll definitely be within. A golf swing of a Bavarian Pilsner.
He's giving us a general idea. David Walker with Firestone Walker Brewing Company celebrating 30 years this year, whether it's getting out to the Invitational in May, maybe that 30th anniversary block party, or just getting into the tap room and having a beer, having a meal.
Yeah. There's literally several thousand people who are very fired up about beer. I guarantee they also are probably fired up about wine, good food, the beautiful life that we all live up here.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big part of their calendar. And so there's a lot of love in the area for that whole weekend, I find.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Matt a little bit, your beer wizard, your Merlin. Yeah. How did he come into this whole project? How did you guys meet?
Once again, super accidental. I mean, you could sort of divine intervention, who knows? We started out brewing our beer in a rented Chardonnay barrel room down in the Santa Ynez Valley. We grew out of it quickly. We needed to scale up, and fortunately for us, the Slow Brew, which was I think opened in 1997 or 98, it was actually a little bit of a turndown in the craft beer world. And at the time,
because of that, they ended up bailing out, and the brewery was for sale. So we came up and acquired the brewery. It was sort of ready to go. It was perfect fit for us. It was a lot smaller than it is now, obviously. But at the brewery at the time was Matt Brynjolfsson, who was sort of fresh from Goose Island in Chicago.
And so he like came with the building, basically.
He did actually. clearly it was funny because the brewery was in chains for about 3-4 months. I mean, it had somewhat abandoned. The bank had taken possession and so forth. And you know, when we were going through our due diligence, we used to go into the brewery, and on more than a couple of times, we saw this sort of creature running around. And it was actually Matt. And Matt knew that someone was going to acquire the brewery at some point, and he brewed a ton of beer, and he was just sort of making sure that beer was healthy and happy in the fermenters. Right.
So he was just literally going back in there as like a passionate guy, because at that point, like, he doesn't have an owner.
Yeah,
no one's really doing anything with that beer, but he just wants to make sure it comes to fruition.
Yeah, he's Matt's just super smart.
So was that like he just kind of like no interview needed? You're like, this guy is dedicated. Let's go. That's fun stuff. Yeah. And then is there anyone else? Like, you guys have now moved into the future. So your CEO right now is Nick Firestone. So kind of keeping the family vibe going.
Next gen. Yeah. I mean, we always wanted sort of a multi-generational brewery. I mean, that was something that Adam and I always really respected when we went to Europe. And, you know, we'd go on buying sprees for equipment, but we'd end up sort of meeting with a lot of the small breweries. And especially in Germany, you have these old sort of multi-generational regional breweries with, you know, families plural, owning them and running them. And that was a little bit of our, always going to be our sort of mission. And luckily for us, Nick,
you're like, someone came through with the interest.
Exactly. I mean, between both of us, we got a Suburban full of kids each. And Nick just was, you know, he always loved the brewery. He worked for us for several years before he sort of moved up into the C-suite. And then, CEO.
That's cool. And so none of your kids had interest in this?
You know, I had two of my daughters did, actually. One of them worked on our sustainability plan and program, but she married an Englishman and moved to London.
We just need another tap room in London. Come on.
The other one was quite involved with our branding team. She was a big part of Cali Squeeze, but she married an Englishman and moved to London. So.
I'm sensing the need for a Firestone Walker extension over in London.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, I'm doing my own thing, so get out of here.
I hope they'll come back one day. Then actually just about all of them have worked in our pubs and our tap rooms and swept floors in warehouses.
Yeah, that's summer job vibe or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. And so headquartered in Paso forever. Yeah. I mean, do you guys imagine, I know you have Buellton, you have some stuff going on down in Southern California. Do you imagine going to somewhere like London for a tap room or brewery or?
No, I mean, we're a Paso Robles brewery.
Really locked into the 805.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I, you know, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I think we are who we are because of Paso Robles. I mean, I don't think we could pick up the brewery and duplicate it and not be fundamentally changed forever. I mean, we do all our pilot brewing down in Venice, California. We have a small brewery on Washington and Lincoln, basically on the border with Marina Del Rey in Venice. And we do that as much as anything to see if we can sort of stay close to what people are into, and it gives us a huge amount of sort of data and feedback. And then we do some wild fermentation down in our brewery in Buellton, and that sort of honors that building that we built. We never brewed there, so each brewery has a function. We have a nice pub with each one, so there's a little bit of theater there. You know, I always like to say our restaurants are theater. It's when people can actually meet the brewery in person, and, you know, sort of unplugged. It's live.
Totally.
But that's it. I mean, our Paso Robles brewery is the future.
Yeah. Well, and it's huge now. I mean, it's a campus.
It is. It's definitely.
It's awesome.
It's definitely a campus.
It's actually, it seems like it's a Cal Poly campus.
Well, that's, I mean, that's probably a great learning ground for people that want to get into this industry on like a long-term basis.
Yeah. I mean, what's extraordinary is, I mean, we've had, I mean, like three of the key members of our team all showed up at the brewery straight out of college, came in at entry level, sort of working on the line or in the lab. You know, one's running our engineering team, one's running our production team.
Cool.
And you know, I mean, it's been a great place.
Yeah.
For a lot of people who grow up into.
And then thinking about your love of Paso and how you mentioned you wouldn't be where you are without it, that kind of thing. That you guys do a lot of collaboration. So you know, I hear about like local wineries or distilleries that are collaborating with you guys on things.
Yeah.
Some people are using your like spent grain, or I forget what they're using to, is it?
The wash.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like, the words, where's the words? Using the wash to do like distilling and these
absolutely.
Kinds of things.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, brewing and distilling is in Britain, you take a brewer's and master distiller's qualification. There's a real esprit de corps in the, you know, if you're going to use the word, the sort of the artisanal, world. And, I wish there was more crossover with wine, although if any brewery's done it, it's us. I mean, Matt does this anniversary beer every year, and, you know, he's got half a dozen literally world-class winemakers. They're all great friends.
Yeah. Well, and you have to, because like, I always hear this thing, and it has come out of like conversations about, you know, that anniversary ale and stuff like that, but that it takes a lot of great beer to make a good wine.
Yeah.
Right. So you have wiggled your way in there in that way. You know, these guys are pounding 805s or whatever they're drinking while they're making wine. So,
but I think because Matt's got such a good friendship with them.
Yes.
I think it's a, you know, there's a real honest exchange of thought in terms of the way things are made, the taste. We're very lucky to have that sort of, you know, consensus.
Yeah, absolutely. That's David Walker of Firestone Walker Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years this year. Get out to the tap room in Paso if you're local, or I mean, hey, if you're not and you're listening to this, come on over.
Bingo.
Make a trip. What's like a kind of a final thought from you? What do you hope for in the next 30 years of Firestone Walker?
You know, if we can continue to do what we've done for the last 30 years, then, you know, that'll be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 30 years and it feels like it's been five. I don't have any doubts that the next 30 years will be as interesting and sustainable as the last 30. We're investing in the brewery. We're investing in brands and beers. We're opening up new markets. You know, we're adding another 8 acres of solar to our 10 acres of solar that we already have, such that the brewery will be almost completely off the, will be completely powered by sustainable resources.
That's awesome.
There's no reason why the next 30 years shouldn't be as exciting as the last.
So cool. Well, hopefully I'll be here to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Of course you will.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us here at The Crush and, you
absolutely.
Know, just always being great partners. I mentioned off the air, but thank you for the 805 beer support of the Crush Lounge every month.
Thanks
and
for what you do.
Just all the ongoing. I mean, it's all local love is what I like to call it. Yeah. So you're definitely a big part of that. And thank you again, David Walker.
Cheers.
The Cork Dorks, a weekly update presented by United Staffing Associates. Want more? Dive into the podcast at crush925.com.